Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Compliance Chats, a new podcast series intended to keep faculty and staff up to date on various compliance matters. My name is Omar Andujar, and I'm with the Office of Audit, Compliance, and Ethics, and today I'm joined by Nick Farron. Nick is the Director of Tax and Compliance in the Office of the Controller, and we are here to discuss tax and compliance considerations for university payments. Nick, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. To give our listeners a sense of the work you're involved in, can you talk broadly about the different types of payments that the university makes?
I'm very happy to be here. My name's Nick, and most of you guys know me as the Tax and Compliance Director here. I push all the university's tax paper. I prepare the returns, or at least oversee the processes that result in the returns. And I'm always glad to have the opportunity to talk about these types of things that really affects things that everybody in the university does, but sometimes they don't quite understand why we're asking for paperwork and what their vendors or what their students are getting in terms of tax. So this is a great opportunity. The university makes hundreds of thousands of payments every year. And they, you know, money comes out, and generally it falls in between three categories. One would be wages to employees, or things that are paid out through payroll. And it's not just, of course, union employees and management, but it could be students, it could be GAs. The second is scholarships. I call everything scholarship, whether it be a grant, a fellowship, or something that covers tuition, a waiver. And the third category is payments to, I'll call them broadly payments to vendors through accounts payable. This can be sales of goods, this can be compensation for services, or this can be reimbursements to contractors or employees who might have incurred a business expense. So you've got these three sorts of categories of payment, and the university has different obligations with respect to collecting paperwork, taking tax, or sending tax forms with respect to each type of different payment. Also, the recipient of the payment would have to pay taxes on the certain types of payments.
How about stipends? What do you consider a stipend?
Yeah, stipend is a funny word, because everybody likes to say something, oh, it's a stipend, you don't have to pay tax on it, or don't worry about it, it's a stipend. And go ahead and call it a stipend if you want, but all the word stipend really means to me is a payment. Once we have a stipend, we have to determine what sort of payment it is. Whether it's, sometimes graduate assistant stipends are paid out through payroll. Those are wages. Travel stipends are payments to vendors, or somebody who's supporting university business by traveling. If we're not collecting receipts for that, that's as good as a $500 payment, a couple hundred dollar payment, for which I might have to send a 1099 if it exceeds $600. But if it's supported by receipts, it's a business reimbursement that's non-taxable. So anybody can call something a stipend, that's fine, but it doesn't really inform us as to the nature of the payment.
So it sounds like there's a number of pays or those receiving payment. Can you continue with this discussion and describe some of the tax implications of each sort of payment and provide a brief summary of the different types of pay and what each of them should be aware of?
Yeah, sure. I think I'll start with wages, because those are the ones everyone's familiar with here. If you work at the university, you get wages. State and federal income taxes withheld, and you can see that on each paycheck. And at the end of the year, you get a Form W-2 that shows the amount of income you earned from the university and the amount of taxes that were withheld, and you take that and you go prepare your taxes. Scholarships get a little more complicated. Scholarships are sometimes taxable. The general rule is that if a student receives more scholarships than the required costs of tuition, then the excess needs to be claimed by the student on their tax return. And when I say required cost of tuition, I'm talking about the mandatory fees and tuition, and not room and board, and not those personal things like room and board, medical insurance, meal plans. However, even if a student gets a taxable scholarship, IRS guidance provides that the university has no obligation to withhold tax or even report it to the IRS, except in limited cases involving internationals, which I'll go into briefly later. So it's really up to the student to look at these things. There's IRS publication 970. That can help, or they can contact me to help them determine the taxable portion of their scholarships. Really, all they need is a fee bill. They might get a 1098-T, but a 1098-T is not like a W-2. W-2 is meant to report income to you and to the IRS. A 1098-T, which you might not even receive if you get more scholarships than you pay tuition, a 1098-T is meant to document your eligibility for tuition-related credits. The IRS, there's no evidence that the IRS uses it for income matching like it does for a W-2 or a 1099. Fee bills are better for reporting scholarship income. Vendor payments are taxable sometimes, this because there's a couple types, although in most cases, except in internationals, which I'll touch on briefly, the university doesn't have to withhold tax like it does from employees. Contractors who perform services, and when I say contractors, it could mean a broad number of things. It could mean a guest speaker, but they're going to get a 1099 if they make more than $600, and that's meant to report income to them or the IRS. They'll use that to produce, do their tax forms, just like you or I use a W-2. Vendors who sell goods, there will be no associated tax form associated with that in most cases. And reimbursements, and again, it depends what you're reimbursing for. If you're reimbursing for a business expense and you're producing documents like receipts for the expenses, reimbursements in those cases will be working condition fringe under Section 132G of the Internal Revenue Code, and we don't have to report that as income or withhold tax. But again, you know, we're not making those rules up to be difficult. We're making those rules up to ultimately relieve you of tax. There's a couple twists and exceptions. There's athletes and entertainers. Athletes and entertainers from out of state, and this not only applies to Jorgensen Acts, but would apply to like Student Activities Acts. Sometimes they'll have bands coming over, or even motivational speakers and things like that. They're subject to a 6.99% Connecticut withholding tax. So we try to reach out or try to direct the athlete or entertainer to reach out to DRS beforehand and see if they can negotiate for a waiver or a reduction of that 6.99% tax. And then the twist that I alluded to earlier had to do with internationals. International guests and international students are going to be asked for a whole bunch of paperwork. We're going to want to know if they're working for us. We're going to want to make sure that they're compliant with their visas. But they're also going to be asked for documentation to tell us about their tax residency, because we might not have to withhold tax if they're technically tax residents, and that's a term of art of the United States. And we might not have to withhold tax if they are from a country that has a treaty with the United States that provides that we don't have to withhold tax. So we're chasing paperwork, and it's complicated, but ultimately it's done with the idea of relieving the guest or student from having to have this tax withheld from his or her payment. The twist with internationals is if they've had tax withheld or if they're a non-resident for tax purposes, they will get a 1042-S from the university. Form 1042-S is like a W-2. It shows how much money, how much income was paid to the person, and it will show how much tax was withheld. Just like, and they're going to use it to produce their U.S. tax forms, just like you or I would with our W-2s. And ultimately, though, just like you or I who might have tax withheld from our W-2s, they might get a refund of that money. But generally, you know, when people come, what do I do with my form? I can provide this generalized info, and I'm always happy to do so. And I'm especially happy to help a student, because these students are coming in with the best intentions. You know, I want to prepare my taxes. So, you know, we're happy to help. We do our best to direct people to good resources and provide useful generalized information. But it's really ultimately up to the recipient of income to know what the law is.
So you've mentioned some resources even earlier on and just now mentioned others. Where can our listeners learn about the various issues pertaining to tax compliance and resources and more about your office?
Well, there's a lot out there. We try to organize everything very nicely into the tax.ucon.edu website. Of course, people can reach out to me. My phone rings directly to my office. It's 0933. Or you can email me at nicholas.farron@ucon.edu. And happy to get back to you as quickly as I can.
Nick, thank you for your time with us today. We truly, truly appreciate you joining us. And for those of you tuning in, thank you again for listening, and be on the lookout for other interesting compliance chats in the coming months. Thank you.